Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy. Justin, I just want to thank you in front of our entire audience for getting my car inspected and cleaned today.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
I really appreciated
it. It's the least I can do. I will admit that I have an affinity for waiting in rooms.
Really?
While something is happening to, like, my car or whatever. I like when someone's like, just sit here for a while. You know what I mean? And it will be done eventually, but I like that. There's, like, nothing you can do. And they have your car, so you can't leave. So it's pretty chill. I like that. I don't mind it.
Well, I appreciated it. I got to have lunch with a friend.
Yeah, lunch with a friend. Yeah. What could be more delightful?
I know.
What a treat.
I just wanted to thank you publicly.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Do you know what we're talking about this week?
I do, Sydney, but only because you shared the notes with me.
Oh, okay. We tried something new recently. A beverage.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were talking about our co-partnership, our cross-branded commercial episode, which is also new.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about an alcoholic beverage. Mamawana. And because it is also a medicinal beverage.
Oh.
But because it is also, as I stated previously, an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
This is sort of a crossover of sorts with Neat, the Booze Cast, which is hosted by my brother Taylor and my dad, Tommy, or my dad, as I call him.
Yes, he prefers that.
Yeah. Yes. And they are going to go over, like, the... What they usually do, they talk about the history of the drink itself and, like, drinks you can make with the drink and, like, what it tastes like.
It's
and
fascinating.
What
it's for. If you've never listened, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, it's a really great show. And
it's the Sawbones of booze.
Exactly. And this was a perfect thing for us to sort of both cover because it's booze. And obviously, it has a long history because people like to drink it. But it also was a medicine or is a medicine or is thought of as a medicine.
Yeah, you know, at medicine asterisk. So and that's a hard word to say.
We are going to focus largely on the medicinal, the supposed, alleged medicinal properties, and how we came to think of it as a medicinal beverage. It is known as, depending on what website you look at, the official drink of the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I found that confusing because we were in the Dominican Republic not too awfully long ago, and I thought there was a different official drink that I accidentally ordered and then was informed I had ordered the official drink, the Santo Libre.
Yes.
Which I was told by the bartender, like...
Yes. It's kind of like a Cuba Libre, which is rum and Coke. Mm-hmm. This is rum and Sprite.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very good.
Yeah.
I had several.
some number.
I had some number. And I felt...
More than one.
I felt very, like... good when I ordered it because I was like, yeah. I thought this was like the national drink. But
yes.
then everything I'm reading about Mamawana is like, no, this is the national drink.
Well, maybe that's the national cocktail.
Oh.
Yeah, possibly. You know
and
what
this
I mean?
Is like this the is national liqueur.
Yeah.
Or maybe the DR is just cool enough to have two.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, maybe it's just that simple. Either way, and maybe Taylor and Dad can sort that part out.
Here's hoping.
There you go. So we tried Mamawana when we were in the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
And we brought, so you can bring back, to give you an idea, and I'm going to talk about like what it's made of and that kind of stuff. But like when you, if you want to transport it, one option is like, I like to think of it as like a DIY booze kit that you can purchase. Don't you think that's a fair, you know what I'm talking about? The the booze, way that we transported it.
Yeah, booze fixins.
Booze fixins?
Mm-hmm.
It's a, it's the bottle is full of all of the, basically like the herbal ingredients in it. And I mean, it looks like a bottle full of wood chips. There are, there's a lot of wood chips.
Mm-hmm.
There are other herbal ingredients. There are other dried spices and herbs in there. But basically you take home this bottle of the dry ingredients and then you rehydrate them with alcohol.
Mm.
And then you can, so it's like your own little DIY Mama Wanna kit. The history, and I thought this was interesting. I started reading about the history of Mama Wanna, and then I found somebody else saying like, well, that's probably not the history. That was probably like retrofitted on the drink when it was popularized in the 1950s, because that's like really where the story of the modern drink comes from. But then there's this sort of, and I don't know, like how do you, it's so hard sometimes to tease out, because the, especially when we're talking about, I mean, this is something like a beverage, which it's not
life and death.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Like you can create this sort of like mythical story behind it. And especially if it's meaningful to a certain community or culture or country or something, like to people like connect with it. Like this is part of our sort of national identity, is like this is our thing. Kind of like West Virginians and pepperoni rolls.
Of course.
Like we know where pepperonis come from, but there's also, it is also food steeped in mythology because it's meaningful to us.
Yeah.
I don't know which of these two stories is absolutely accurate, or if like the people who made it popular in the 1950s created this backstory for it. What a lot of the information around Mama Wanna will say is that this actually dates back a very long time ago to the original inhabitants of the island of Hispaniola, which obviously would eventually become Haiti in the Dominican Republic, that the Taino people, who were the original inhabitants, created an herbal tea. And so it was a concoction made of the same dry ingredients, basically, the herbal things that go into Mama Wanna now. But it wasn't alcohol. It was a tea.
Okay.
You would steep it in water and drink it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of herbal teas. And so because it has this root as possibly as an herbal tea.
Root.
You get it?
Yeah.
This root is a root. Then it is natural that it would have this sort of like medicinal quality kind of tied to it because, you know, it probably initially was thought to be a healthy beverage. Exactly. I have not been able to find an account of like, so if we really believe this story that the Taino people made the herbal tea that eventually would have alcohol added to it become Mama Wanna, what did they use it for? I'm not sure. It seems like it had this sort of vague identity as like a general healthy drink.
Yeah.
You know?
Something to replenish your vim and vigor.
Right. Like there are things that we drink or eat and we're like, that's healthy. And like, what does it do for you? I don't know.
Just like, good for you. Yeah.
It's healthy.
I mean. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, and like, that might or might not be true, right? Like we all think drinking water is healthy and water is healthy. It's good for you. You have to drink water, right? If you don't drink any water, you're going to get sick.
Yeah.
You got to drink water. So like, that's true. But we also all tend to think granola is healthy.
Right.
And I don't know that that's necessary. I mean, what's the granola? You got to give me more information.
Is it full of medicine that you need? Because if it's like oats and raisins and like—
Does it have a lot of sugar? Because the thing is, if it has a lot of sugar, it's going to be delicious and I'm going to want to eat it.
Yeah.
Do I also, I mean, like, I don't know. There's a, granola encompasses a lot of things. So an herbal tea that was made of a lot of different substances, it was probably more of just like a wellness, like drink this daily. It will maintain your, like you said, vigor, kind of like a tonic, general tonic kind of thing. Sometime in the 17th century, as rum was invented and making its way around the world, rum was probably added to a lot of things, right?
Sure. Why not?
Why not? Like you've got it. You have something. You have something that didn't have rum in it before.
Maybe it could have rum.
It could have rum in it now.
Think about it.
And so it ended up in Mama Wanna. Initially, that was sort of like the alcoholic version. We think was just the rum with all the herbal ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it would evolve in like its final sort of iteration would have rum and red wine and honey, as well as the herbal base to the liquid. And throughout these sort of like changes in the recipe, it maintained the idea that it had medicinal benefit. Like that didn't go away.
Now, are you going to detail for me some of these herbal components that are in there? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like you're kind of holding those cards close to your chest for the moment.
Do you want me to go ahead and tell you them?
No, it's up to you. Right now. Hey, listen, you're weaving this tale. You're the tail spinner.
I know, but I try to take cues from you as
I would like to know.
As
I
think a vessel for our audience.
I think it's distract. Yes, I encompass all of them.
That's right.
I am Legion, and we would like to know.
So let me give you some ingredients. A lot of these are herbal things that you may or may not have heard of. One that you probably have is star anise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
It's like it looks like a star. It's a little, I don't know,
like a pod.
Seed pod, I think. But it imparts that sort of like licorice flavor. Mm-hmm. It's used in a lot of baked goods.
Another one you probably know are clove. You've probably heard of that. There's a kind of basil in it, one species of basil. There's an agave leaf in it. Species. There's something called princess vine. And then there are some other things that I wasn't as familiar with. A lot of these things would be native plants to the area.
We also have to assume this is not like a fully hard and fast locked in recipe.
No, and this is really important. So a lot of these ingredients that I'm naming, varied depending on where it was made, because we're getting into like the production of mamawana, the beverage. So like, there was the herbal tea. People started adding alcohol to it. And then it became its own thing. And people started making that. Everyone had their own recipe for that.
And they enjoyed the rum version so much that they're like, they did like, they should have done with Wild Berry Fruit Loops, where Wild Berry Fruit Loops are so superior to regular Fruit Loops. Mm-hmm. I made a push that they should just call that Fruit Loops and then call original Fruit Loops worse Fruit Loops. So this seems like that, where like, we're not even going to mess with the tea anymore. This is now mamawana. We're wild about this stuff.
This is mamawana.
We're crazy for it.
Well, and I mean, that sort of did take over. Like, I didn't find a separate name. I kept searching for that. What was the name of the tea prior to it being the beverage mamawana?
Right.
I can't find a specific name for the tea, which adds a little credence to the idea that maybe this backstory was retrofit onto this bottle of stuff. Like maybe like the people who sold it later were like, yeah, it dates back to a long time ago. I mean, you know, but yeah. I mean, maybe it did. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. Also, I should say, like, you can add stuff to it, and this has been some, the cinnamon has been commonly added to it. That's not necessarily part of the original recipe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extra crispy. but, like, other things like raisins get thrown in there, strawberry, molasses. And then, like I said, there's some other herbal ingredients that, I don't know, you probably haven't necessarily heard of, but would have been known to or thought to have various medicinal properties. A lot of these were thought to be like antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, that kind of thing.
A potpourri.
It looks like a potpourri.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the bottle, like the bottle of stuff.
It's a big pile of stuff that smells. That's potpourri, right?
Right.
It is potpourri.
That's what it looks like. When you give the gift to someone, which is what we did, we brought it home as a gift for Taylor. It looked like we got you a liquor bottle full of potpourri.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to kind of explain why it's not just that, because then, like, if someone thinks it's potpourri, they're probably not going to add alcohol and drink it. Maybe, but probably not.
They might also think you're not the best gift giver. Because why did you bring this?
I got you a liquor bottle. It's full of potpourri. Merry Christmas. It's February. We really messed that one up. So, okay, so that's kind of an idea of the different herbal stuff that's in it. And then, like I said, it became the beverage mamawana when rum, it can be white or dark rum, either way works, red wine and honey are added to it. And that's because a lot of those herbal components have a very bitter flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got a lot of sweet stuff that you're tossing in there to sort of offset some of the bitterness of the herbal background. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then people throw spicy stuff in there, I think, because it tastes nice. So people thought that it had these medicinal benefits, and a lot of people like to consume it. I would say that the alcohol probably made people like to consume it even more. And it started to be used as, like I said, like a general tonic. It was thought to be good for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a common usage. It was thought to be good for like colds and flus to combat congestion and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the sort of stuff that's like vague that a lot of health tonics are like, they detoxify your liver and
right.
kidneys and,
right.
you know, stuff like that.
Energy.
Yeah, it gives you energy. So non-specific wellness claims, I would say. So it was pretty popular. But not, I would say we have still not even approached even close to like national drink status at this point. A common thing that different families made in different ways at home, that was about it. What really changed it, I think this is like a lot of things in life, was when people couldn't get a hold of it so easily.
Oh.
When all of a sudden there were restrictions placed on the sale of marijuana is really when we start to see it take off as something that's really desirable, and it starts to have other medicinal properties attributed to it.
Oh, like what?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Justin, but first we got to go to the billing department.
One of these days, I want to see one coming. Let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion, thanks to Quince. Now, I know that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong, but I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy. And that's until I found Figs. So our shifts in the hospital can be really long, or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs make scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
I'm Emily Heller.
And I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
We've been doing our podcast for over 10 years.
When we started, it was about trying to learn something new every episode.
Now it's about us trying to actively get stupider. And it's working.
Hang out with us and you'll hear us chat about
gardening,
horses,
various problems with our butts,
and all the weird stuff that makes us horny.
That's so weird, all that stuff. Baby Geniuses, a show for adult idiots.
Every other week on Maximum Fun.
Baby Geniuses, we know everything. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
The following pro wrestling contest is scheduled for one fall. Making their way to the ring from the Tights and Fights podcast are the baddest trio of audio, the hair to beware, Danielle Radford.
It really is great hair.
The Brit with a permit to hit, Lindsay Kell.
The queen is dead. Long live the queen.
And the fast-talking, fist-clocking Hal Upland.
See, I can wrestle and be an announcer.
Get ready for Tights and Fights.
Listen every Saturday or face the pain.
Find us on Maximum Fun. Now ring the bell.
So it's important to know that in the background of this next, like, chapter, the Dominican Republic had come under rule of a new dictatorial leader. Rafael Trujillo was in charge, and there were a lot of restrictions placed on, like, what people could do and where they could go, and it was a much this was not the only restriction. The idea that alcohol sales were going to suddenly be restricted, this was just, like, the tip of the iceberg. That's a whole other, which is, I mean, listen to historians about the history of the Dominican
There's
Republic.
There's probably Don't other history podcasts.
I'm not going to get into the, this is outside my area of expertise. But you need to know this because similar to when Prohibition happened in the United States and alcohol was banned, but then you see this rise of medicines that conveniently contain large amounts of alcohol, or you see the rise of something like bitters, which bitters were originally a medicinal beverage, mm-hmm. which we're so sorry it has to have so much alcohol in it, but it's the only way the medicine works. And that's only out of necessity, not because we're trying to slip booze into things because we all desperately want our booze back.
Right.
And the government banned it and we're all miserable. So similarly, in this time period, you see that Mama Juana goes from being this sort of like folk medicine that different people make in their own way to something very codified by a man named Jesus Rodriguez, who in the 1950s started really marketing Mama Juana as a distinct beverage, as an entity. And it was an herbal medicine that contained a lot of alcohol. And again, all of those properties
that sound
people,
like you were giving like an asterisk there, like a footnote, like it's a medicine. And then you look down the bottom, like in the tiny print, like it contains a lot of alcohol.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of, and again, I would liken this to Prohibition era US. There were lots of things
that
people did that with. I mean, and if you think about it, this persists, right? Like NyQuil still exists, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's a medicine.
There's more Z-Quil these days. It's mm-hmm. just, they're just saying like, yeah, this is a knock you out.
Yeah. I mean, so like, there's so much moralizing around alcohol that we do weird things when alcohol's in stuff. That's part of the history of this. So medicine and alcohol gets tied up together a lot, I think, for this reason. So anyway, he started marketing this herbal medicine that could, again, it could treat your flu, help your digestion, your circulation, clean out your blood, your liver, your kidneys. It was a cure-all. It was absolutely pitched as a cure-all. And all of that came from the herbal component. Like, it was very clear. Like, we're not saying alcohol fixes you. We're saying that it's all this other stuff that it's in it that fixes you. But it was very common to use alcohol as a solvent for different substances. So, like, that wasn't wild to say,
yeah,
I know this bottle's really full of a lot of booze, but it's just because that's the best way to, you know, extract all of the medicinal properties from these herbs and barks and whatnot. Okay. And he also added a new angle, which was, in addition to all the stuff that you already knew, because everybody was familiar, there was a cultural understanding of Mama Juana. In addition to that, It's also an aphrodisiac.
Oh.
And this was kind of a new sales pitch that had not really necessarily, other than tonics always were associated with sort of vigor, the idea that it specifically was helpful in the bedroom had not really been put forward until then. And so he started telling people, like, not only are you going to get all these benefits, but I use something special in there.
And
that would be turtle meat.
Oh, my. I did not expect you to say that.
Yes, that was the ingredient that would make it an aphrodisiac.
Turtle meat.
Yes, turtle meat. Now, later, and you'll find this mentioned in some articles, some people would rumor it to specifically be sea turtle penis. Is why... why would turtles be tied to aphrodisiac? Well, it's because it's the penis.
It's the penis of the turtle.
It really depends on what you read as to, like, did he market it with the penis or did he market it with just turtle meat? Or did he even say that? Or was that a rumor that developed and then he probably, like, ran with it because it was good for marketing? You know what I mean? This stuff sort of evolves organically.
That makes Shredder make so much more sense, why he's after those turtles so bad, those poor guys. He just wants their penises for his thing.
I read somebody was writing, like, why would a turtle penis be associated with, why would it be an aphrodisiac? Specifically, why turtle? Like, I understand, like, genitalia, but, like, why a turtle? And I guess sea turtle penises are very long.
I can neither confirm nor deny the relative length of sea turtle penis.
I read on one article that they're, like, 12 inches long.
I mean, honey, that's a number that I don't know how to react to necessarily. That seems like a fine length for a sea turtle's penis. I don't know why. You know what? Honestly, Sid, all due respect, if I had seen 12 inches long in one article, I think I would have searched out another few articles just to see where everybody else was at on that. I'm not sure I'm comfortable single sourcing the length of sea turtle penis, personally. But
I know. Maybe I need to read. Should I Google sea turtle penis?
Let's not. I can't have you on a bunch of government lists.
This show puts me in a lot of uncomfortable Googling positions. I have ruined my TikTok algorithm with wellness crap. Mm-hmm. And I Google things that then put me on lists. I still get ads for cold plunge tubs like every day on Facebook because of all the stuff I lovingly research for you, our listeners.
You, our beloved.
So... Anyway, so that supposedly it had some sort of turtle in it, some kind of
turtles all the way down,
some turtle substance. And I don't think that's what that's about.
I do not think that's what that's
about. I'm pretty sure that's not what that's about. And there were stories, like a lot of these sort of medicinal things. Like there was a whole story about how he would travel to certain provinces in the DR specifically to get the very specific stems that you have to get to make this very, you know, sort of boutique traditional medicinal drink, and then this aphrodisiac property. And anyway, this made it much more popular than it was before. It grew from, like, it was kind of like, you know how here in Appalachia, a lot of people have been making moonshine for a long time. And, like, the concept of moonshine was popular. Mm-hmm. It would be like if, you know how they make those, like, brand name moonshines?
Sure, yeah. They're all over the place now.
They're all over the place. And I don't know. Maybe somebody out there buys them. Listen, nobody around here buys them because we don't need to.
So we make our own.
We make our own. That's just between you and me. But imagine if one of those really took off. And, like, all of a sudden, instead of it being this sort of cultural idea of, like, moonshine that everybody has their own.
It's all of a sudden Pepsi moonshine.
Yes. Okay. This is kind of what happened. So this Mama Juana became, like, a big deal. And everybody wanted it. And then, of course, people continued to make their own knockoffs, but now they were based on this new version of it. And it would make you horny, was the thought.
Does it make you horny, baby? Yeah.
I mean, you drank some, Justin, so you tell me.
It just seemed like regular.
Now, because everybody—
I'm not on trial here. I refuse.
It just sounds like regular. Because everybody started drinking it and then making their own versions of it because, you know— it could help you in that department, and that made it very popular. It also became restricted pretty quickly. that the sale of it became something that could only be done by a doctor. So basically, you had to either get it from a doctor or have a prescription for it from a doctor, and then take your prescription for marijuana to a dispensary. I mean, somewhere, like, really, we're talking about like a marijuana kind of situation here in the U.S. right now.
No, marijuana.
This is a marijuana situation. You would take your prescription to someone who produced marijuana, and then you would purchase some prescription strength beverage, and then, you know, you could have it. It was still popular. I mean, even with, like, you can imagine how hard it made it to get.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, that makes more sense. I was confused for a second, and now I'm right back with you.
No, not that. Not that. It made it very difficult to obtain.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
Because you had to get it from starting the medical license. And I imagine, I tried to put myself in the shoes of, like,
the doctor.
The doctor. Yeah. Because it's not hard. It's not a hard stretch because, oh my gosh. It's not
that's
difficult.
The problem. I know, doctor. That's why I'm here. It's not hard, okay? Just give me the turtle penis booze, please. Stop holding out.
It must have been similar to the way I feel now that our state, West Virginia, has legalized medicinal marijuana, but not recreational marijuana. And so the only way you can get it is through a doctor. Now, I am not one of the doctors. Let me say this very clear before I have a line outside of Harmony House next week. I am not a doctor who is licensed to prescribe marijuana, so I am not someone who can do it. But in part, that's because I just think it should be legalized. And so when someone sits down in front of me and says, like, can I have a prescription for this? It's hard. Like, I don't know what criteria for me to use because a lot of the data isn't really great one way or the other. But I also just think you should be able to get it if you want it. I don't think we should have these legal restrictions on it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it puts me in a really weird position as a physician to be like the gatekeeper for something that I don't feel should be gatekept.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for me to cope with. I imagine a lot of the doctors at the time felt the same way. Like, they probably liked marijuana too. And they probably thought everybody should be able to get it if they want it. And I'm sure you couldn't do that. So who should get a prescription for marijuana and who do you have to turn away? And what on earth criteria
do you use
to make that decision? But when things are restricted, that usually does nothing to stop people from making them, buying them, using them, and wanting them more in many cases. Which is what happened. It became this kind of, it sort of became bigger than itself.
Mm.
I think probably through its restriction, like, well, it must be very powerful if the government doesn't want us to have it.
It's too, you're right. This is, what are they hiding?
What are they hiding? And so it also, through this period, it began to be known as the baby maker.
Oh.
You could also ask for that. Could I have a shot of the baby maker? Or el para palo, which means lift the stick. Nowadays, I saw many articles refer to it as liquid Viagra. So if that's not clear enough, I don't know if I've made it,
now it is very clear
what this is supposed to do for you.
Got it.
That is what it's supposed to do. So obviously, it was not illegal for very long. And then it was legalized again, and people sell it. And we were able to buy some to drink there and then also buy a bottle of the herbal ingredients. And this is pretty common. Like, you can get it that way a lot of places where you buy just the bottle of the wooded, the barks and the herbs and the dried things, and then add your own rum, wine, and honey. And then I guess at that point you could add raisins or strawberries or
whatever you want,
you know, citrus juices, whatever other people like to add to them would be fine. I think it's interesting, like, and people still do, by the way, make a lot of this outside of the ones that are sold. You can buy it in the DR. I also found several places throughout the U.S. where you can purchase it.
Mm.
Not here in West Virginia. I couldn't find anywhere where you could buy it. I know. Our liquor stores are pretty good, but
yeah. They
don't have this. And there are obviously ones you can buy that come pre-mixed.
Sure.
Where you don't have to DIY it. Like, it's not just the hard ingredients.
But it's fun. It's more fun the other way, isn't it? Everybody loves a project.
It was fun. We didn't do it right, but the idea was fun.
what do you mean you didn't do it right?
It did not taste the same as the one we drank.
Yes.
Yes.
We should have left it to the professionals upon further reflection.
I will say, in case you're interested, I was trying to figure out where did the term marijuana come from. It comes from like this sort of the French origins of the English word demijohn into demijohn. It references the fact that the bottle it's usually served in is a large, squat bottle with a short, narrow neck.
Mm.
And the top is usually covered in wicker. And that's the kind of bottle. You find a lot of Mamajohn sold in bottles that look like that. And so Demijohn, eventually Mamajohn, Mamajohn, Mother okay. Jane. Anyway, all of this is sort of how you get to this kind of iteration of what the beverage is called, or you could call it the baby maker, or I guess the stick lifter, if that is your thing, or if you want to call it sea turtle penis booze. I'm betting people would know what you're talking about because there can't be too many.
But Sydney, the question on everyone's mind, does it work?
So there are a lot of ingredients in it. And when people say that it does stuff for health, they're probably pointing to specific ingredients. Like a lot of concoctions have cinnamon. That's not part of the original recipe, but a lot of them these days do. And there've been a ton of studies to say, like, does cinnamon reduce your blood pressure? And it's like a lot of herbal or supplement kind of things. Even if it does, you would have to take so much of it to like treat a condition that it's not really useful. Yeah. You know, it's not useful as medicine. It doesn't
not like mean- it's so you soaked some with rum for a while and then drink the rum and then it's antioxidant.
Well, I mean, that's the other part of it too. Like you're drinking it in rum. So right. Like, I don't know if we're talking about the effect on your blood pressure, your heart, it's kind of a catch 22. But that is where the like heart health and circulation claims come from. People have always said red wine has antioxidants. There's a lot of mythology around red wine, right? Like mm-hmm. That was what we were all advised to do, drink a glass of red wine every night. And then they were like, no, don't do that. And then they're like, maybe do. And then some drinking is good. And then no drinking is good. And we go back and forth on alcohol and red wine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We all thought that since Italians are so much healthier than us Americans, it must be the wine. So I think that's where that came from.
Oh, okay.
That's actually kind of true. The Mediterranean diet. I mean, but I don't know that, again, there's nobody out there recommending you drink red wine for antioxidant effects. Like,
there's
just drink
probably
a bunch of,
somebody out there. You can't say nobody.
There's, okay. We are not saying that you should drink red wine all day as a way to antioxidize your body.
Okay.
Honey has always, right? Like, honey is in there. And we've always said that
it. Also the Sawbones episodes about honey.
Exactly. That it fights infection and that it treats inflammation and all this different stuff, that it can kill bacteria. And again, like, yeah, in certain applications, this is actually true about honey, right? So there's some grain of truth there. But again, when you're dumping it in rum and wine and drinking it, it's not really doing much of that. And then a lot of these other ingredients are sort of the same things you get with a lot of kind of herbal mixtures that have lots of different things in them. It's like the vague anti-inflammatory, antioxidant kind of claims. They'll detoxify you. Nothing that there's any studies to support. There's no hard science behind any of it. It's all like we did a study in a lab on two mice and we think it went well. And, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to degrade any science.
Why is this researcher so sad? Their wife just asked about their day and it's like, I don't know. Didn't experiment on some mice. It didn't go well.
It's hard to say with some of this stuff because either it's never been tested or the tests that have done are so small and they're not done in humans. And so, or they're done in humans who are already taking something because they believe it works for them. And so then it's not blinded. So I have no hard science to say it does absolutely anything for you. It's got alcohol in it. So too much of it is bad. Period. We know that about alcohol, right?
Yeah.
There is no evidence that it will help you in the bedroom. There is nothing that I can point to that helps you with erectile dysfunction specifically or with general libido. There are no ingredients that I have any science that says will do that. And I do not have any evidence that eating any part of a sea turtle will help you have an erection. So please, please, sea turtles are protected in the Dominican Republic. You're not supposed to kill them and eat them. Please don't eat sea turtles.
And don't think you can just take the penis because that's immoral.
So there's, but I will say, with all that being said, you know, try Mamajohn. I've never tasted anything like it.
Yeah,
it was incredibly unique. Yeah. And I thought the one we tasted there, I thought was really good. It was very sweet and spicy and floral and herby. And I thought it tasted really good. The one we made at home was not that. But
who actually did the making, though?
I think my dad.
Okay. Maybe a little bit of corner cutting might have happened there.
A little ramrodding over there.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of our podcast. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.